We've seen also that people love that. They really loved their broken cistern. We've seen that they really love being told lies. They didn't mind believing them. They loved being ruled by priests. They didn't mind that. They just loved the whole system. The times of Jeremiah seem to be times of great religious harmony. Now, these same people that loved what the prophets, the priests, the pastors, and the teachers of the law were telling them, which was not the word of God, which were not the ways of God, which was not what God wanted for them, let's see what people thought of the word of God in the times of Jeremiah. Go to Jeremiah 6, please. We already saw that people loved fearing other gods and following other words and their altars, their temples, their idols, and their service. But let's see what they thought of the word of God. In Jeremiah 6, verse 10 says, "To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it." What a contrast. They loved religion. They didn't have any delight in the Lord, in His word. It says that the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. That means that the word for them was something shameful. It was something disgraceful. That's what that word reproach means. And it also says that they had no delight in it, which means that they didn't take any pleasure in the word. They did not desire the word. They did not like the word. They had their traditions of men. They had their own commandments. They had their own sacrifices. And we already saw that they loved that. But the word of God was something shameful that did not produce any delight to them. Go to Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 9, please. Jeremiah 8, 9 says, "The wise men are ashamed. They are dismayed and taken. Lo, they have rejected the word of the Lord. And what wisdom is in them?" It says that the wise men are ashamed. That word ashamed means that they had dried up, that they had become completely unprofitable. It's like a fruit that dries up and does not have any moisture anymore. It says they are dismayed, which means to be broken down with fear and confusion. And it says they are taken, which means being captive. And then the verse says they have rejected the word of the Lord. They had rejected the word to the point of despising it, of hating it. Go to Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah 17, verse 15. "Behold, they say unto me, where is the word of the Lord? Let it come now." They are making fun of the word of God. They are making fun of the word of God. And in Jeremiah 23, verse 36, Jeremiah 23, 36. And the burden of the Lord shall ye mention no more. For every man's word shall be his burden. For ye have perverted the words of the living God, of the Lord of hosts, our God. The word burden in that verse means the utterance, the oracle, the word. The New American Standard Bible of 1995 translates this verse as follows. For you will no longer remember the oracle of the Lord, because every man's own word will become the oracle. And ye have perverted the words of the living God, the Lord of hosts, our God. They didn't have to remember the word of God because every man's word was the word. Whatever they said was fine. Whatever they believed was fine. When we arrive to the times of Jeremiah, the priests, the doctors of the law, the scribes, the pastors, and the prophets are doing anything they want to but the word of God. They are teaching lies. They are doing anything they want religiously. And we know that people are happy. They love it. Of course, they use the name of the Lord, but they do not mean the Lord God. They may say Jehovah, but they do not mean it. They are very religious, but they do not have the word of God. It says that they have perverted the words of the living God, of the Lord of hosts, our God. To pervert means to change, to transform, to overthrow. They had taken the word of God and had made it something shameful because they didn't love it. They had taken the word of God and they had despised it. They had mocked the word of God. They had made fun of the word of God. And they had perverted it to the point of overthrowing it and putting it in the garbage, so to speak. We can see that the times of Jeremiah are really difficult. We can understand why, at the very beginning of his ministry, God told Jeremiah, it's not going to be easy, but I'm going to be with you. And you are going to be like a fortress, a stronghold, like an iron pillar and a bronze walls. Everybody will want to destroy you and get rid of you, the kings, the princes, the priests, and the people. But you stand faithful and you speak the word, even if the teachers of the law are not speaking it, even if the prophets and the pastors and the priests are doing something else, even if people make fun of the word, even if they consider it something shameful, if they despise it, if they mock it, if they pervert it, if they overthrow it. Even if they do that, Jeremiah, you stay put because I'm going to be with you, God tells him. Let's go to Jeremiah 6, chapter 6 again, please. In Jeremiah 6, verse 10, again, it says, to whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. Verse 11. Therefore, I am full of the fury of the Lord. I am weary with holding it. I will pour it out upon the children abroad and upon the assembly of young men together. For even the husband with the wife shall be taken, the age with him that is full of days. And their houses shall be turned into others, with their fields and wives together. For I will stretch out my hand upon the inhabitants of the land, said the Lord. For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. And from the prophet, even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. The religious leaders were saying, peace, peace. Everything is so wonderful. Everything is so fine. Everything is great. What you saw on the outside was nice. Great religious harmony. But the truth was that because they had left the Word of God to such a degree, things had been set spiritually to the point that eventually everything was going to be ruined. And everybody was going to be ruined. The husband with the wife, the young person with the old person. What really was happening to them, whether they were aware of it or not, it was like if they were bleeding to death and the religious leaders were applying a little bandage to stop the bleeding. They said, peace, peace. But Jeremiah said, there is no peace. If things didn't change, sooner than later, things were going to get very, very bad. Verse 15. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed. Neither could they blush. What powerful word. What wonderful word. Therefore, they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, said the Lord. Thus said the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Time after time, you can see that what God wants for his people is peace, is rest for their souls. But time after time, you can see people rejecting that and ending up with tribulation and captivity and death. Verse 17. Also, I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Therefore hear, ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon these people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. To what purpose cometh there to be incest from Sheba, and the sweet cane from a far country? Your burnt offerings are not acceptable, nor your sacrifices sweet unto me. Religiously, they had the very best quality to offer. They had incense from Sheba. They had the sweet cane from a far country. Everything was of the best quality. Even from a far country, it was even imported. No. The smell they offer to their false gods, the incense, the perfume, it was not cheap stuff. It was imported. It was the best quality. It was the best quality, but it was for false gods, for idols. Even if they mentioned the name of Jehovah, it didn't matter. They were doing it to false gods and false idols. God told them, therefore, your burnt offerings are not acceptable, nor your sacrifices sweet unto me. It was not acceptable. It was not sweet to God. Verse 21. Therefore, thus said the Lord, behold, I will lay stumbling blocks before these people, and the fathers and the sons together shall fall upon them. The neighbor and his friend shall perish. Thus said the Lord, behold, a people cometh from the north country, and a great nation shall be raised from the sides of the earth. They shall lay hold on bow and spear. They are cruel and have no mercy. Their voice roareth like the sea, and they ride upon horses, set in array as men for wars against thee, O daughter of Zion. It is so interesting that verse 21 mentioned that because they are not believing God, that they are not obeying God, they are going to fall. The fathers and the sons are going to fall together. Why? Because remember, they were getting along pretty well. Religiously, everything was fine. The fathers were having a great time with the sons were having a great time with the fathers. They're believing lies, therefore they are going to fall together. It says that the neighbor and his friend shall perish. Religiously, everything was so fine that, you know, even neighbors got along well. They were friends. They were believing lies, but they were together. Therefore, the neighbor and his friend shall perish together. So we can see that the problem was not being united. The problem was not fellowshipping. The problem was that they were not believing the word of God. They liked each other. They got along really well. They loved their leadership, both religiously and politically. But the kings and the princes were wrong. The priests and the teachers of the law and the pastors, the religious leaders, were wrong. And things are going to get very bad. Everybody was getting along fine, and then Jeremiah comes and tells them, you know, you are going to perish. There are people from the north that are going to come, and they are very cruel. You are going to fall together because you get along well, but you're going to fall anyways. We can see why people didn't like when Jeremiah spoke. Everything seemed to be so fine, so much religious harmony. Everybody were brothers and sisters, and there was peace, and there was peace, and there was peace. And then Jeremiah would open his mouth and tell them, there's no peace, and he would try to ruin the party. Probably people thought, you know, when they were having their religious services, and they were holding hands, and they were crying together, and they were singing together, and they were worshiping false gods together, and they were so happy, Jeremiah would start saying, no, that's not right. Maybe those people would look at Jeremiah and they would say, you know, that Jeremiah guy, he's so negative. Nobody likes him. He's so unpopular. He's terrible. You know, the other day, I glanced at Jeremiah's computer. Jeremy was close to me, and I saw his computer. He was using Facebook, and he has zero friends. Not a single friend. Not a single friend. Have you noticed how when anything he posts in his page, everybody puts spam right away? No, they don't like his words. They don't like what he says. Why does he have to be that way? Everything is so fine. There's peace. There's tranquility. There's harmony. We get along so well. And this guy comes and he says everything is going to be ruined. He's so crazy. Go to Jeremiah 7. Verse 13. And now, Jeremiah 7:13. And now, because ye have done all these works, said the Lord, and I spake unto you, rising up early and speaking, but you heard not, and called you, but ye answered not, therefore will I do unto this house, which is called by my name, wherein ye trust, and unto the place which I gave to you and to your fathers, as I have done to Shiloh. Shiloh was in Israel. And when Israel fell to the Assyrians, everything was ruined in Shiloh, in Israel. What God is telling them is that as Israel fell and everything got pretty bad, so the same things are going to happen to Judah, to Jerusalem. Going back to verse 13, it says, and I spake unto you, rising up early and speaking. God is giving this revelation, and he says that he rose up early and spoke. That is a wonderful phrase that God uses in the book of Jeremiah very much. And he uses that phrase, rising up early and speaking, to emphasize how important it was for God to try and help his people. We know that God does need to wake up. But here it says that speaking to his people was so important that he would rise up early to do it. He would rise up early to speak to them. That beautiful figure also means that he gave them enough time to change their minds. He did not start speaking to them the day before the kingdom of the north came and conquered them. He gave them a lot of time. If they do not listen to God, it is not God's fault. If the Babylonians come and conquer them, they won't be able to say, well, God never told us. He told us late. He just told us once. Look at verse 23. But this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people. And walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you. But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward. Since the day that your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt, unto this day, I have even sent unto you all my servants the prophets, and look what it says, daily raising up early and sending them. So God rose up early to speak to them, and he also rose up early to send his prophets. Yet they hearkened not unto me, nor inclined their ear, but hardened their neck. They did worse than their fathers. And in Jeremiah 11, verse 7, for I earnestly protested unto your fathers in the day that I brought them up out of the land of Egypt, even unto this day, and look what it says, rising early and protesting, saying, obey my voice. So God would rise up early to speak to them. He would rise up early to send his prophets. And he would rise up early to protest to them, to really get with them and tell them, obey my voice. 8. Yet they obeyed not, nor inclined their ear, but walked every one in the imagination of their evil heart. Therefore, I will bring upon them all the words of this covenant, which I commanded them to do, but they did them not. And the Lord said unto me, a conspiracy is found among the men of Judah and among the inhabitants of Jerusalem. They are turned back to the iniquities of their forefathers, which refused to hear my words. We already saw what they thought of the word. They made fun of it. They despised it. They didn't light on it. They didn't love it. They changed it. They overthrew it. Here we see that they refused to hear his words. And they went after other gods to serve them. The house of Israel and the house of Judah have broken my covenant, which I made with their fathers. Verse 11. Therefore, thus said the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon them, which they shall not be able to escape. And though they shall cry unto me, I will not hearken unto them. Then shall the cities of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem go and cry unto the gods unto whom they offer incense, but they shall not save them at all in the time of their trouble. What great verse. It says, then shall the cities of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem go and cry unto the gods unto whom they offer incense, but they shall not save them at all in the time of their trouble. For according, and look at this verse 13, for according to the number of thy cities were thy gods, O Judah, and according to the number of the streets of Jerusalem have ye set up altars to that shameful thing, even altars to burn incense unto Baal. So religiously, they were very advanced. No city or little town was left without a god. No green tree was left without an idol. No city or small town was insignificant enough to be left out of idolatry. That is what Jerusalem and Judah had arrived to. Every city with pagan gods and every street with pagan altars. So, we can see that when God talked to Jeremiah, he did not offer him a dream job. It really was more like a nightmare job. And in the next sessions, we will see how this nightmare job developed. Thank you, Father, for this word. Thank you for we being able to rest and to put your word together in our hearts and minds and enjoy it and love it and get committed to it more than ever before. Thank you for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So we continue tomorrow.